You are listening to 91.5 FM. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and we are very, very glad about that. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. And one of our verses here, and I had never, ever heard anybody reference this verse. God's the one that dropped, you know, when we started the radio program in 2013, as like, God, what do you want me to call this program? And he dropped in the word refresh. I'd never heard anybody use that in a spiritual title sense, and have since found out that there are, you know, other things out there like that. And so I began to do the word research and came across the verse that says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." And that's been our theme verse since 2013. And I would say it was maybe 2024 and 2023. I just encountered that verse so many times in so many different settings that, you know, it's like, God, I want to thank you. And Merritt Assembly of God, you might think that a small church that, you know, they're not really trying anything new, or they're not really, you know, as driven as mega churches are or large churches. And I would tell you that that is not the case at Merritt Assembly of God. We have done a number of things throughout the years. And then come to find out that, you know, other churches end up doing those same things, and, you know, they have a lot of results, and we got a lot of experience. But I can tell you that after, you know, 32 and a half years of reaching out and, you know, existing to be a blessing and just try to refresh people's lives, that when my wife was praying for me here a few weeks ago, she was praying, God, you know, refresh him as you've promised, that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So Merritt Assembly of God is still seeking and pressing on and driving forward, and we're believing that God is going to continue to use this ministry of the Refresh Radio program, as well as the church, for being a blessing to the kingdom of God through primarily here in Brevard County. Not exclusively, but primarily here in Brevard County. So hope you have a great weekend. Happy, end of May. And we've got a bit of a celebration lined up this weekend. Friends of ours from many, many, many years ago blessed us with an opportunity to get away for a couple of days, which is all my wife can get away from work at this point in time. And so we're going to be, you know, not far. We're just going to be enjoying a change of scenery for a few hours. So anyway. To Ephesians chapter 3 we go. I do want to take this opportunity to invite you out. The church is having, on June 8th, the church is having the special gathering choir going to be coming and ministering. There's going to be a baptismal service that takes place. It's also our church's 73rd anniversary. And so if you are interested in coming, maybe you're not familiar with special gathering, it's a ministry to special needs community that has been going on for decades and decades. I would say probably right around four decades that they have been ministering to people here in Brevard County and loving on them in the name of Jesus and making a huge impact in our community. They reach out across all sorts of different denominational lines and continue to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they're going to be with us on June 8th. Like to invite you out to those special services, 10:30 of a morning on Sunday morning. Again, that's a little over a week from now. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The Bible makes this statement: every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it is not a matter of if we are going to bow and acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The question is, when? I highly advise as early as possible. Kneeling is an act of submission, an act of honor. It's an act of worship. It is an act that is reserved for God. It is not an act that is meant for another person. Whenever you see in the scriptures that a human being encounters just a regular angel, okay, I'm going to use that term, and then I'll come back and explain. Whenever they encounter a created angel, and they're like, whoa, this person is, or this creation is more powerful than I am, they're more intimidating, I should kneel down. That every time a created angel encounters that, they say, don't do that. Don't do that. Get up on your feet. I'm a creation just like you. Godly angels will not accept worship, because worship, kneeling as an act of worship, is meant for God and God alone. Now, if you ever encounter an angel who does not reject kneeling in worship, that angel is going to be an angel in disguise. There's only one exception to that, and that happens very, very rarely in the scripture, and that is the term the angel of the Lord, not an angel, the angel of the Lord. Those are theophanies. Those are Christ appearing moments in time before his incarnation. And I will tell you that the Lord will accept worship because he is the one who created. An angel is, that word means messenger. So how do you know if it is a godly angel or if it's an ungodly angel? You first of all evaluate the message. You also evaluate how they respond to the name of Jesus. Demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. Demons are smarter than a lot of human beings. a lot of human beings are overconfident in themselves about, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to be successful in opposing the plans and the purposes of God in their life. I would tell you this. The best place that you could ever be is right in the center of God's will. And when you find yourself in that place, make sure that you worship Him there, because you don't want to be in the center of God's will without the presence of God. And the scripture says that God inhabits and is enthroned in the praises of His people. Whenever we kneel and worship, it's the right thing to do, no matter what we feel like. So Paul writes, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He was worshiping the Father. He's worshiping the one who so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. The Father sets us up to succeed spiritually. He sets us up to succeed relationally. He sets us up to succeed physically. He sets us up to succeed mentally and emotionally and relationally. He gives us the ability to produce or create wealth. God sets people up to succeed where the devil sets people up to fail. And so make sure that you give honor and worship to the Heavenly Father, because He's good. Don't take Him for granted. And so I can tell you in the month of May that there was an article that I heard, and it was talking about this individual's prayer life, and it was like, you know, after being a Christian for 50 years, over 50 years now, I want my prayer life to be better at the end than it was at the beginning. Why am I doing this? Is a lot of people, you know, we're looking for ways to do things quicker and better and things like that. And prayer is not one of those things that we can delegate to technology. It's not supposed to be something. Okay, now, so for instance, many times whenever husbands and wives are having conversations, over time, if you're not careful, if you do not make communication a priority, those conversations can deteriorate into nothing more than "I've got a problem," and the other person is sitting there listening and saying, "They've got a problem, how can I fix it?" And one person may be wanting to express emotions where the other person is looking for resolution. And if those methods of communications are fractured, they're broken, they're not healthy, you say, okay, how can we communicate as little as possible, get the problem resolved so that we can move on? I forget what day it was. I remember. It was my wife's birthday. And we have typical things that we normally do. But this year, due to my work schedule, her work schedule, it was going to be different. And it's not the first time we'd ever come upon this situation. We've been here years before. And we, after experiencing that in years gone by, I had said, I'm not going to make the same decisions that I made back when I was younger. I would have to be out of town for a business meeting, and those business meetings fell on her birthday a lot. And so I made a decision. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come home, and I'm going to be home when she gets home. And so we went out to dinner, and we got home, and we sat at the dinner table across from one another, and we just talked. Not about solving problems or anything like that. We just talked. And because we value our sleep, and both of our days start early, we generally go to bed very, very early. It's when I was a kid growing up, my parents had a bedtime for me, and it was like, I want to stay up. And now it's like, I want to go to sleep. When my kids were growing up, there was one night where they were all, they were doing something, and we had corrected them for doing that repeatedly. And I said, okay, I tell you what, tonight, because you all are doing this, we're going to reverse roles for tonight. And they said, what do you mean? I said, tonight you get to be the parents, and we're going to do whatever you tell us to do. And they said, okay, you're grounded for the night. Go to your room. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and we both sprinted for the for the bedroom. And the kid said, wait a minute, that didn't work out the way we wanted to do it all. So then they're banging on the door and all that sort of stuff. You know, my wife and I, we just sat there and we talked, just because sometimes life is so busy that you miss out on the communication. So when I heard about that person's prayer life, it's like, I want my prayer life to get better, not worse. I don't just want it to be about solving problems. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God also determines your relationship with others. Say, how do you get that? Because it talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul writes that it was because things were working out for the glory of the Ephesians that he didn't want them to lose heart, that he was praying to the Father. Praying has purpose. It is going to accomplish things. Prayer is God's idea, not man's idea. You know, so many times people object to things that are going on in the world. And so you've got people who are anti-church. You've got people who are anti-Bible. You've got people who are anti-prayer. And a lot of times they are of the mindset that those are men's ideas, and I want to remind you that they are all God's idea. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is best pictured as in the husband and wife relationship as Christ being the head of the church, who gave himself up for us. And so we can kneel and we can worship because life is about more than one individual. Life is about the community of believers that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who have embraced the purpose for which God created us and said, God, have your perfect work in me. I want everything that you have available for me. I don't want to do anything that is not of faith. I don't want to do anything of my own resource. And Paul said, so I'm praying. And he says, he's the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. At Merit Assembly of God, we have a family dynamic. Now, I don't want you to think by that 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 means we are related. It doesn't. What it does mean is that we realize that we all have the same Heavenly Father. So when I first came, there were people, I mean, there were six people the first week. There was, let's see, six, five, four. So we went 10, 9, 8. That was how many we had in attendance when I first arrived. And so I started talking to other pastors and saying, hey, you know, what do I need to do? And they said, well, what is the makeup of your church? And my answer was yes. They said, well, are they old or are they young? Yes. Are they, you know, predominantly male or female? Yes. Well, what's the ethnicity? Yes. In there was a little bit of a microcosm of everything. And so a lot of times people ask me, well, you know, what's your background? I said, I'm the United Nations. I'm, you know, Heinz 57, you know, I'm genetically probably a bit of a mutt. I'm not necessarily any one thing as far as I can tell. From what I understand, I've got a whole group of different things. So at Merit Assembly of God, we, for a smaller church, we're extremely diverse. So we've got people from the country. We have people from the city. We have people from America. We have people from multiple countries outside of America. We have all sorts of different racial diversity, because the culture of the church should look like the culture of heaven. And the Bible declares that that worship in heaven is going to be from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And so Paul writes, he says, I'm praying, I'm bowing my knees to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So I had a pastor years ago, and he said, if you want to see your church grow, you're going to have to destroy the family dynamic. And I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And now I can tell you that church tries to create a family dynamic. That's the way, one of the things that is the cool in term use in larger churches and things like that. But it's not just a title. It's not just a descriptive word. It's supposed to be the relationship. So I can tell you that my best friend, I've got a best friend in the ministry. I've got several close friends in the ministry, but my best friend, and I've got relatives too, you know, I want you to know that, but my best friend is at Merit Assembly of God. And so for a special event, we've got a number of people who attended Merit Assembly of God and through the years and have since relocated. And one of those persons that has relocated, they moved to Florida in the late 1990s and started coming to church. I still tell you their first Sunday was Easter Sunday. We had a little bit of a Easter picnic afterwards, and they remembered the name of every person that was there for the picnic. The lady has a phenomenal memory for names. She was like our secret prayer in public, because she was constantly engaging in conversation with people. They'd say, "Hey, we got a need. Would you mind praying for us?" She'd bring them to church, and the whole church would start praying for these needs, and people would start getting answers to their prayers. So, well, she moved down here. Her family, her and her husband moved down here. Their family wasn't down here. My wife and I, we were here, but our family was elsewhere. And so because of some special event days, they literally became like a substitute mother and father to us. They were like family. And so family is not just about bloodline. It's about culture. And so I want you to know that you have, if you're a Christian, you have family in heaven, and you also have family on earth. And that family is named not by your last name, but by your Savior's name. And I hope that you look at every Sunday, every midweek service, that you look at that and say, "Man, I am so excited to have a family reunion where we get to worship, where we get to pray, where we get to seek the face of God." Don't take your family for granted. I will tell you that, whether that's your physical family or your spiritual family, things change. 2024 was a year of a lot of change at Merit Assembly. Got a lot of people moved away. But 2025 is looking like it's got some promise, possibly, that there could be some positive change. And I had a conversation with one person, and they were talking about how important family is to them. But they said more important than family is wanting to be right in the center of God's will. I pray that we'll see you at church on Sunday. We'll have a family reunion because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Have a good day. We're praying for you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.